Praise God, praise God. God bless you. You may be seated for just a few moments, and certainly the presence of the Lord is here. I know that God is everywhere at all times, but when we worship Him, the scripture says He inhabits the praises of His people. He just lives in the praises of His people. If you need the Lord today in any way, you're in the right place. Because as we worship Him, it's like saying, come on a little bit closer, God. We want more of You. And so many of you have read the Bible. You've seen story after story where God has made a way. Let Him make a way for you. Whatever circumstance or situation, let Him make a way for you. In fact, after the preaching of the Word today, we'll all spend a little bit of time around the front of this building, what most churches would view as the altar. This is not a place that's reserved just for members, or even if you come, then you're saying, well, I want to be a part of this church. It's really not about that at this church. It's about just saying, I want more of You, Jesus. Whether you serve the Lord for a few minutes or for many years, if you want more of Jesus, seek Him today in prayer, in worship. Let Him have His way. I know it was mentioned before, but we are thrilled for every guest that's here. I'm so thankful to have our missionary here from France. We love the Wallace family. Appreciate them. Of course, we remember Sister Wallace was here just a few weeks ago, and because of their traveling right now and other administrative responsibilities, they were not able to be here together. In fact, he's just here for a few days, heading out this evening back to France, and I want them to know, as we mentioned when Sister Wallace was here, we love our missionaries. Amen. We're thankful for their ministry, their sacrifice, and God is using this family beautifully. And I'm glad we're partners with them, and always happy to see them. Brother Wallace helped me out in my Sunday school class today, and I appreciate that as well. He has a lot of background in what you might call being a scholar, and that's something I might aspire to be, but I'm way younger than him, so I just need a lot more years. But he helped us today, and I appreciate that. It's good to have Emma here. If you haven't met a famous basketball player, we got one on the front row. She'll deny it, but I've seen her play. She plays for her Christian school and does an outstanding job. I'm glad she's here today, and thrilled for every guest. If I don't know you, I'd love to meet you. Stick around. Let's get connected. We want to be a blessing to you. We are receiving communion today, and if you're a guest, I want you to know, just like many churches do, we remember Jesus dying for us. He shed His blood, as we heard before. He's not dead, He's alive. But He calls us to remember. And there is no set prescription in Scripture as to how often we would. He just said, we should remember. And so we don't just limit that to Easter. He's alive every day. And we also don't limit that to just our church family. If you are a believer, if you are here today and you know Jesus died for your sins, you know that He rose again and you have put your faith in Him, you are more than welcome to participate in communion today. We'll take the bread, we'll drink from the cup, and you'll see it's a very beautiful, powerful experience. And everyone is welcome, even smaller children. If your parents are with you and they've given you that sense of okay, that they know, you know, this is a serious, solemn, that it's not just something we're doing. We want you to feel welcome as well. If you're not wanting to participate, please stick around and at least reach out to God with us and let God give you a blessing. And I believe great things will happen. I want you to stand. I'm going to read a verse from the New Testament, the words of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to preach a little bit that hopefully will prepare us for communion. But I will say this at the outset of this message. I am preaching about a level of commitment, consecration, dedication. And I think we're all, especially at the beginning of the year, we try to renew our attempt to serve God just a little bit better. At least I do, and I know many people do. And I just want you to know, as I preach that way today, we don't receive communion because we think we've earned it. So if I mention, man, we ought to pray more, you don't say, well, I can't receive communion. I haven't prayed like I should pray. That's not what communion is about. Communion is about the sacrifice He has made for us. And yet I think this is a wonderful time for us to say, God, as much as you have given all for me, I want to give my all for you. And so I know you'll sense that as we get into the message, and yet at the same time, don't let that be something that you say, oh, I don't know if I should. We're all going to examine ourselves in just a little while. We're all going to pray, God, if there's anything that keeps me from more of you, I want you to forgive me right now. And if we are sincere in that prayer, how many of you know Jesus forgives us instantly? Whether we've served the Lord for many years or we're just contemplating serving him, he always answers that prayer, and he'll answer it again today. Mark 12, verse number 30, Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." I'm not a scholar, but that all in the original language means all. He's worthy of our all, amen. And Jesus said, I really want you to know that I am looking for people that will love me, serve me with all, with all. So I want to preach for a little bit from this thought, communion without communion. Communion without communion. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now. And prayer warriors, would you intercede? Would you stand in the gap as if someone might be facing a doubt or a fear or a frustration or even some sort of attack, and you would stand between them and whatever that is, and you would say, in Jesus' name, God, don't let anything keep anyone from receiving a miracle today. Don't let anyone be left back or left out from the blessing and the victory you have. Just lift your voice as you cry out to God and intercede for an anointing upon our time together in the Word. And in communion, let's reach out to God just a moment more. I love you. Can you say, in Jesus' name? God bless you. You may be seated. You know, there are some things in life that just go together. You know, you could see these things separately, but it just makes sense to us that they would be linked together. I feel that way about Harold and Lisa. You know, the end of January is upon us. I got to put in a few plugs for Valentine's Day early. But I mean, we are okay, separate, but together, we're what we're meant to be. And I thought I'd get some oohs, some ahs. I thought maybe a husband would get a little bit closer to a wife, but say, that's us, baby. I saw a couple, that's it. See, you could save money this way. Cards are so expensive. And if you can just show a little bit of affection, you know, anyway. I'll give you a little bit more a practical. I'm going to say something. You tell me what goes. Are you ready? You tell me what goes. Well, you just shout it out and only that. Don't shout out a bunch of other stuff. You'll scare the guests. But let's try this. When I say salt, you say it just goes together. There's no confusion about this. How about this one? Peanut butter and see, there are some things that just go together. How about this one? Biscuits and man, see, we just know they're okay on their own, but sometimes some things are just meant to go together. A couple more here. What about rice and just go together? They just go together. Arroz con habichuelas, they just go together. Arroz con pollo, they just go together. What about this one? Spaghetti and meatballs. How many of you are hungry right now? Some of y'all, 21 days, you're like, you know what? Let's just dismiss and let's go together to the restaurant. Spaghetti and me, just forget about it. focus on the Lord for just a few more minutes. But you understand that there are some things that are just meant to go together. Now, this is a little bit more serious. It might even sound funny, but if you think about the ramifications, you'll say, man, that would never work. It just would never work. In fact, I want to just throw this out here. That this doesn't have to do with what I just said, but just about a month ago, it's been just over a month ago, I attended the most beautiful wedding. Chris Miller, Jackie Brown, now Jackie Miller, they were married, and it was awesome. It was beautiful. They're here. They're still sitting together after a month of marriage. But here's the thing, as beautiful as that wedding was, how many of you know that a wedding is not the same without a marriage? It just goes together. How strange would that be to attend the most beautiful wedding and then find out, oh, they're not getting married. They just wanted to have a wedding. I mean, the free gifts, the free food. Food again. Forgive me for that. But we understand that no matter how beautiful the wedding is, something would be missing without the marriage. It just goes together. And in a religious context, this is exceedingly significant. In fact, in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says some words that are pretty stern. He says, "This people draweth nigh to me with their lips," or with their mouth, "and they honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So Jesus says, you know, these people have the ceremony down, but they don't have the marriage part. They don't have the relationship. He said, you've got your traditions, but you're not getting close to me. It just doesn't go together. It just doesn't work out. It doesn't matter how beautiful the ceremony is. We've got to have the relationship. I'll give you another example in a religious setting, and this may sound a little bit odd, but let me just give you a thought here. Church without church. Something just ain't right. I mean, if we've got the building and we got the people and we got the music and we got some songs and we got a sermon, nothing necessarily wrong with that. But if all we have is church, but we ain't had church, something's missing. And I guess what I mean by that is if we're going to go to church, let's have church. If we're going to be in church, let's experience something from God that is powerful. I've heard people lament. In fact, I remember talking to a pastor. He was speaking about his own church, and he said, I don't know if my daughter can learn how to worship in our church. Because he said, we're so traditional, and we have our routine down pat that it's really hard for the Spirit of God to flow. And he was the pastor, which is a great lesson to us. You don't have a great church just because you have a great pastor or you have a great choir. You need some people that say, if I'm going to church, I'm going to have church. If we're going to show up on Sunday, we're going to put on our Sunday best. We're not just going to go through the motions. We're not just going to have our few songs and a sermon. We want to experience God in this place. Well, that's okay just to clap your hands as if to say, Jesus, I want you. I need you. See, I think that's what the Lord was saying when he said, these people, man, they're drawing nigh to me with their mouth and with their lips. They got all the right words. They got all the right motions, but their heart is far from me. Perhaps he would say it this way in the context of this message. When you have church, put your heart into it. If you're going to have church, why don't you make sure that you give God all you've got? I feel like we're doing that today, and I thank God to be a part of a church like that. in Luke 19. This is quite a popular story, pretty well known, but it's interesting. Jesus is coming in to Jerusalem. You see it, verse 37, and people are starting to make a lot of noise. In fact, it says the disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And they were saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And then look what happened. Some of the Pharisees, they begin to say to Jesus, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." They were saying, you know, this is a religious procession and it's getting a little bit out of hand. They're getting a little bit wild and they're making quite a lot of noise. And Jesus' response was pretty significant. He answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." It's as if Jesus would say to us, don't have church without having church. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just have your routine. Don't just check off another Sunday. But if God has been good to you, let there be a cry from the deep part of your soul that says, "He's done so much for me, I cannot tell it all." How about this one? "When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah!" You can't have church without church. Praise God. And so let me move on just a little bit more. Don't try to have prayer without prayer. And I want to use the words of Jesus again here to help you identify what I believe the Lord would say to us today. Matthew 6 and verse 5, Jesus said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites are, for they have to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Can I say that public prayer without private prayer, it just ain't right. Something is missing. In fact, I would say it's powerless prayer. No matter how much noise we want to make when we get together, and we should get together, but it needs to be backed up with a personal prayer life, with a private devotion, with an intimate connection with God. And so when you pray, don't just pray when everybody's looking, but pray when nobody's looking but God. And the reality is this: if you pray in private, God will reward you in public. God will anoint you in public. Corporate prayer is powerful prayer because it's backed up by brothers and sisters that didn't just show up 30 minutes before church to pray, but they've been praying every day. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, we've got to have you. Prayer is not prayer unless there is a personal connection with God. Praise God. I think, I've never asked, but I assume that this could be a part of it. Some people do not see the value of when we get together and pray. And I think some of them may sincerely think, well, the scripture says I should be private about this. But you need to be careful, because there's so many examples where the church got together and prayed. In fact, in Acts 4, we read verse 31, and when they had prayed, that's the church praying together, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Prayer without prayer, you're right, it would be meaningless. If you're only going to pray 30 minutes before church, maybe you shouldn't come, but please don't discount or discredit your need to be here, but let it be backed up by a lifestyle of prayer. As we heard Wednesday, pray without ceasing. And then when we all get together, you be here for prayer. In fact, tomorrow evening, let's all come for prayer with a passion that says, you know what, Pastor? I've been doing this throughout the day by myself. I'm so glad I can get with my brothers and sisters, and together we can pray until the place is shaken and the Holy Ghost falls. Perhaps Jesus would say, when you pray, put your heart into it. Don't let it just be words that come from your mouth. Don't just honor him with your lips. Let your heart be focused on more of God. Church, without church, something's missing. Prayer, without prayer, something's wrong. Worship without worship, I don't know that that pleases the Lord. But if I can put my heart into it, I don't believe this is one of those places. Now, sometimes things happen and you can't help but crack a smile because we're human. But you know, people ought to feel liberty to worship in this place. Because there's a lot of places where you couldn't clap your hands. There's a lot of places where you couldn't just dance before the Lord. People would probably escort you out. But you know, since we're in the house of God, and since he's alive, and since we can't bring him anything else, we might as well just bring him our love, our passion, our desire, and most of all, let's bring him our hearts. In fact, I urge you, if you ever catch yourself worshiping and you're singing your song, but your mind is on the grocery list or on the laundry that you got to do, or your mind is on a job problem, please just rewind the tape in your soul at that moment and say, Jesus, forgive me. I've been doing this with my lips. I've been doing it with my mouth, but now I want to do it with my heart. And at that moment, you give the Lord the highest praise. You let something from the deep part of your soul, like the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, let your mouth speak. Hey, why don't we try that right now for just about 10 seconds? What about from the deep part of your heart? You would let something come out of your mouth that says, God, I'm not thinking about my lunch. I'm not thinking about tomorrow's to-do list. I'm thinking about how awesome you are. Oh, let's clap our hands and shout with our voice a praise. So I'm preaching that some things just go together. Some things, you know, it's just not what it should be if your heart's not in it. Church without church, prayer without prayer. And this is a little bit of a change in sort of the fashion of these words being put together, but I think you'll get it instantly. Bible reading without Bible doing. Something's wrong with that. So many people do read their Bible, and that's great. Some people every day, they seek to get alone with God, but there must be a doing of the word that comes with the reading of the word. We have to approach the Bible with an attitude that says, if it's in this book, I want it in my life. I don't want to just read about it. I don't want to just hear about it. I want to study it. I want to know what's going on. And I want to say, God, if it's in the Bible, I want to experience it in my life. Because Bible reading without Bible doing is empty. One verse says it this way, James 1, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers, deceiving your own selves. Can I say it this way? If you have faith without faith, something's missing. And I think I should explain that. And I want to use the Bible to explain it. James chapter 2, verse 17. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So faith is not the thinking. Faith is not even the saying. Faith is the doing. And faith without faith, something's missing. It doesn't mean that it's good to have faith, but your faith has to go beyond what you think and beyond what you say. I am going to do something that demonstrates my faith. The classic example is in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. Remember, this is the very first time that the gospel is preached after Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. And furthermore, this is significant. This is the only place since Jesus has ascended, as you read through the book of Acts, where all of the disciples are gathered together. So they're hearing the message, all of them together. All the ones that walk with Jesus are right there. They're in unison. The message is preached. And so you know if somebody gets it wrong, you got 11 other guys going to say, wait a minute, we was with Jesus. That's not what he meant. So they're all together, and Peter is preaching about the cross. He's preaching that Jesus died for our sins. In fact, it's pretty strong preaching. He says, you crucified our Savior. And by the time he gets done with his message, they look to him. You can read it in Acts 2, verse 37. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, this is what I mean when I say faith without faith. Something's missing. The hearing without the doing. Something's not exactly right. Doesn't mean you don't have something good, but you need something more. Because they said, what shall we do? Look at the answer. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. In other words, your faith will be demonstrated in your doing. Your faith will be revealed in your obedience. Your faith, if you will, it will be consummated by you saying, you know what? I know Jesus died for me. I know he rose again. I know he's my Savior. And so I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to be baptized in his name. I'm going to be seeking to be filled with his Spirit. Now, I just want to just leave this with you to just focus, meditate, consider that when they said, what shall we do? The answer was not, wait a minute. It's obvious that you believe the message of Calvary. You're feeling conviction. It's obvious that you know what I've said about Jesus is true. You know he's your Savior. So guess what? You don't have to do anything. You're good to go because you're demonstrating by your intense response, you already believe. He didn't say that. The disciples didn't say that. They recognized that faith without faith is not complete. Faith without works is dead. And so I challenge every single one of us to make sure when it comes to the Word of God, there needs to be an attitude. What shall we do? I've just read about repentance. What should I do? I've just heard about baptism. What should I do? I know the Scripture talks about being filled with the Spirit. What shall I do? In other words, God, you have done everything for me. I want to do everything I can to get more of you. Can you say amen? Amen. Because faith without faith, it's good. But there's more. Again, Jesus said it this way. This people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In this context, I think it's important for all of us that have made confessions of faith, to reach a point in our walk with God where we say, God, I'm going to put my walk where my talk is. I've made a confession with my mouth, but now I'm going to obey you with my life. I'm going to give myself to doing what your word says. I wonder if you would take a moment and pray right where you are. Lord Jesus, give me that kind of response to the word of God, that if it's repentance, I'll repent. If it's baptism in Jesus' name, I'll seek to be baptized in your name. If it's the opportunity to be filled with your spirit, Lord, I will do your word. I will seek for you to fill me. And furthermore, Lord, I will not just serve you here and there and just when it's convenient. I will not even confess you as my Savior at some distant date in the past, but every day I will give myself to faith that moves me in the direction of not just hearing your word, but obeying your word and being everything that you want me to be. Can you say in Jesus' name? So here's a message as we get close to communion. Don't just give God lip service. Give him heart service. Don't just say you believe, obey the word of God. In fact, I would say to this church family, and I don't think you'll take it harshly, but you'll see the desire, the passion that I'm trying to project today. In 2019, let's get past church without church. In 2019, let's get past prayer without prayer. In 2019, let's get past faith without faith. In fact, I thank God for anyone that's done anything the last 21 days, but let it be more than just a month of sacrifice, a month of prayer, a month of fasting. Let it become a lifestyle. Lord Jesus, it's more than just what I say on Sunday. I'm going to serve you Monday through Saturday. In fact, I dare say that living for God on Sunday without Monday through Saturday, something is missing. Living for God at church but not living for God at work or school, something is missing. Living for God without living for God is empty. It's shallow. It's actually boring. But if you can wake up tomorrow and say, today I'm going to live for you. Today I'm going to put you first. Today I'm going to listen for your voice. Today I'm going to get in your word. I guarantee you, if you put a few days like that together, it's going to be the best life living for Jesus beyond lip service. As the musicians come. And so I close by saying, communion without communion is less than what it should be. Communion, the ceremony, as you will see in just a few moments, it's beautiful, it's powerful, but it's really not meant to stand alone. Communion, the ceremony, needs to go with communion, the relationship. And it's so easy for our religion to overshadow our relationship. It's so easy for us to do all the right things out of ritual instead of relationship. And it's as if God would say to us from Mark 12 again, love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In other words, communion as a ceremony, always wonderful. But without the marriage, without the relationship, it's so shallow. It will not be significant beyond a couple of hours on Sunday. How many of you, right where you're seated, you would close your eyes and examine yourself and say, Lord Jesus, I know I have a relationship with you that extends beyond this moment, but in this message, Lord, I hear your call, and I'm asking you, Jesus, to search my heart and make sure that I'm not participating in communion without communion, that I'm not participating in the ceremony without the relationship. Lord Jesus, I don't want to just give you words from my mouth and words from my lips. I want to give you something from my heart that says, I want to be closer to you. I want to be closer to you. Would you take a moment and pray? Just take a moment and pray right where you are. Jesus, prepare me for communion. Jesus, prepare me for communion. Everybody in the building, just take a moment and say, cleanse me, Lord. If there's anything in my heart that's like a wall between me and you, if there's anything in my life that it's just in the way of more of you, forgive me, Jesus. Forgive me, Jesus. Jesus, if there are sins in my heart, attitudes in my life that keep me from being closer to you, forgive me right now. Forgive me right now, Jesus. Lord, help me to prepare for more than just a ceremony. I want to have a deeper relationship with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Elders, as you have prayed, would you come and take your places? Pastor Dan, I'll help you to get in position. Every elder, come. Ministers, come and get ready to help us. Congregation, right where you're seated, would you just take a few more moments? Jesus, I feel you calling me to a closer walk with you. I feel you calling me to a deeper dedication to you. And so in these few moments, Lord, I want to examine myself. I want to make sure that I'm ready, Lord. I'm ready, Lord, for more than a ceremony. I want a relationship in Jesus. As I look at my own life today and I hear the admonishment of the Lord, as if he would say to me personally, son, I don't want just lip service. I want heart service. I just feel like the Lord could be that close to each one of us, that when he says, I want you to love me with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength, I feel like I could almost immediately sense an area where I'm not sure I've given you all, God. But that's why communion is so beautiful and so powerful. Because when I sense that, when I see that, I just give it to the Lord. Here it is, God. I'm not posing. I'm not faking you out. I could never do that. I'm just saying, here I am. And I trust in the cross. I trust in your blood that was shed for me. And I know that you're calling me to a deeper relationship, so I give it all to you. And so I know that it'll be easier if we all stand. But when we stand, I'd like for you to stand and just raise your hands. And if you have repented for anything at all, I want you just to say, Jesus, right over here, my hands raised as if to say, thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. I know for some of you, raising your hands might feel awkward, and that's okay. Just at least from your heart, raise your heart and say, Jesus, I know in the last few moments when I repented that you heard my prayer and you've forgiven me. I know, God, that I've served you long enough to know it's not the first time and it won't be the last time, but I stand here thanking you for Calvary, thanking you for your blood, thanking you for the life that I have. Because of your mercy, because of your grace, and because of your love. That's what happens when we examine ourselves. Go ahead, right where you're standing. Oh, Jesus, when I look at me, I see my weaknesses, but when I'm weak, you are strong. When I look at me, Lord, I see my failures. When I examine myself, I see every area where I fall short. But then I see the cross and I say, thank God. Thank God for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, as we prepare for communion right now, that you would sweep through this congregation by your Spirit, and every single one of us would feel the love that was purchased for us at Calvary. Every single one of us would feel that pull of your Spirit, that tug from your soul to ours, inviting us to a deeper, closer walk with you. In the name of Jesus, let it be more than a ceremony today. Let it be an invitation for a relationship that's been purchased by your sacrifice on Calvary. Can you say in Jesus' name? For those of you that are guests today or some that are new to our church, we don't have communion every service, so you may not have seen us do it before. We have it every now and then. It ends up being about 4 or 5 times a year. Again, the Bible doesn't tell us how often to do it. It just says when we do it, we remember him. And so if you're new to how we receive communion, so many churches celebrate the death, the burial, the resurrection in this manner. So I'm sure it's fairly similar to what you're used to. But they're going to sing another song. And as they do, we ask you to come, take a cup, take a bread, and then just stand near the altar as close as you can. If you can think about it, there's a lot of people coming in behind you. So if you can kind of move over to the sides, stay in close. It'll give room for everybody to come. You can see there's several different stations where you can come. And so just pick the station closest to you. And then as you come, you've got that cup, you've got that bread. Just hold it in your hands and just worship the Lord. Just sing, just think about Jesus. And after everybody comes forward, then we'll give you instructions. We'll receive communion together again. If you're not a member of this church, if you are a believer, you are welcome. You are encouraged to receive communion with us today. And children as well, if your parents have given you approval, you come with them and receive communion as well. Let's come. Let's get ready for the power and the blessing, the beauty of God's presence that's going to saturate us here as we receive communion, as we remember.